Thank you very much. So I'm going to talk about the current status of our instability study of Myers-Perry black holes, focusing in particular on the numerical relativity analysis. First of all, I thank Luis for inviting me. And anyway, so okay, so the motivation of this study comes from the possibility that the mini black hole may be formed in the LHC if our universe have a higher dimension, and Planck scale is about 10, so which is much smaller than the four-dimensional Planck energy. Anyway, so if such hypothesis is correct, mini black hole may be formed in a particular accelerator, and this is a often referred scenario in higher dimensional and cape gravity hypothesis. Anyway, so if two particles collide with small impact parameter, black hole may be formed, and then probably a black hole should have a spin with one single spin, and then a black hole evolved due to the emission of gravitational waves and settle down to the almost stationary black hole. Then a black hole will emit a Hawking radiation and spin down, and then eventually black hole will disappear. This is a typical, often referred scenario. And this phase is, in a sense, a classical regime, so in which quantum effect is not very important. And also, this phase is highly dynamical, so this means that numerical relativity study is very important for clarifying a formation process and subsequent evolution process of a black hole. Anyway, so this is a reason why this field is not active. Okay, so in this talk, in numerical relativity, we have to perform a simulation for forming the black hole in the collision, and then we have to follow the subsequent evolution. But I focus only on this phase in this talk. So I mean that I will focus on the our studies on the instability of a Myers-Perry black hole with single spin. So Myers-Perry black hole may allow the more than two spins, but in this talk, I only focus on the single spin case. And anyway, so this is a metric line element of a Myers-Perry black hole. And in this metric, so there are two parameters. One is mass parameters, and the other is the spin parameters. And this means that this metric is characterized by two parameters. But so mass parameter can be scaled, factored out of the problem, because the mass is scale free in the classical gravity. And so in this metric, so there is only essentially one parameter, spin parameter, a non-dimensional spin parameter, exactly speaking. But this is a non-dimensional spin parameter. So in the following, I focus on the stability of the Myers-Perry black hole, focusing on this parameter. Okay. So anyway, what we should do is that to solve Einstein's equation, giving this metric, but changing these parameters. Okay. So in higher dimension, we need a numerical relativity or a numerical analysis for clarifying the stability of black holes. The reason is as follows. In four-dimensional case, we know that the black hole is stable. So this is fun because the perturbation, this is almost established. So the reason is that the perturbation equation is separable. And the analysis can be done by solving the ordinary differential equation. So I think that so this problem is almost solved by Solchukovsky in 1973. But on the other hand, for higher dimensional case, perturbation equation has not been shown to be separable in general, except for a very special case. For example, for spherical symmetric case, Kodama Ishibashi derived the separable equations. But for general case with a spin, we don't know. whether equations, perturbation equations can be separable or not. And so this means that we have to solve the Einstein's equation directly. So, so this means that we have to solve the partial differential equations for clarifying the stability of a higher dimensional black hole. Okay, so, and this field is very, history of this field is a very narrow, shallow. So, there are only few works in this field. And first numerical analysis was done by Oscar and their collaborators. And in this, so this is the work 3 years ago. And in this work, anyway, so they solved the Einstein's equation numerically, assuming that the metric perturbation is small. And but as I said in the previous slide, metric perturbation equations cannot be separated. So as a result, they have to solve the partial differential equation. And in this work, they restricted attention to the action symmetric mode. So in this case, perturbation equation settled down to the two-dimensional ellipse type equation. And they solved the, these equations numerically. So, and anyway, so by decomposing to the exponential I omega t, this equation becomes the eigenvalue equations for the omega square. And they try to find the zero mode by solving these elliptic equations. And they found that for d equal d larger than 5, Myers Perry black hole with a very high spin. The high spin means that Q, non dimensional spin, is larger than about 1.6, is unstable against the Gregory Laplan type instability. And they show that this holds for D between 6 and 9. This is the first result. And also, there are some conjecture by Emperor and Myers here. And they gave a conjecture based on some dynamical argument. So what is very interesting property of a higher dimensional black hole is that if spin is sufficiently large, area of a black hole approach to the zero. This is not the case for d equal 4. For d equal 4, even for the extreme car case, A is finite. But for t larger than 5, this property holds. And this means that the black hole is thermodynamically very unstable. So I mean that so we can make another black object system fixing mass and angular momentum. For example, if we consider the non-spinning two black hole with a small separation like this, and with appropriate linear momentum, so we can make an equivalent system very easily. And it's also, of course, it's easy to make a system which in which A is larger than the original black hole. So this means that this system seems to be more stable. So, and so this means that this black hole may fragment into two black hole systems. So they may deform, and then may fragment like this. And so they show that this is possible for the case that Q equal larger than about unity, irrespective of D equal larger than 5. So anyway, so but this possibility has not been clarified until about 3 years ago. Before proceeding, so I would like to point out that the analogy between the rotating stars in four dimension and higher dimensional black holes, spinning black holes. So it is well known that rotating stars in four dimension, so rotating fluid stars, self-gravitating fluid stars four dimension, are often unstable against the non-axiometric deformation. So many work has been done since famous Chandrasekhar's textbook. And often referred criterion for the onset of the instability is that T over W is larger than 0.27. Here, T is the rotational kinetic energy of the star, and W is the gravitational potential energy. Anyway, so this means that if rotational kinetic energy is sufficiently large, rotating star is unstable against the non-axisymmetric deformation. This is a such example of the, this is my simulation from many years ago. And so, so initially, so I prepared a rotating star, very rapidly rotating star, but it is unstable against the Bermond deformation, like this. So anyway, so this shows that in four dimension, if a self-gravitating object is rapidly rotating, such object is often unstable against the non-axisymmetric deformation. And by contrast, in 4D rotating star, it's not easy to realize that axisymmetric deformation, axisymmetric instability set in. For example, for the rigid rotating star, axisymmetric instability set in only when the T over W is very, very large. So here, T over the maximum value of T over W is 0.5. So this means that highly spinning case, axisymmetric instability set in. And for this case, star become almost a pancake like this. So like this. So only for such a highly deformed case, axisymmetric instability sets in. By contrast, non-axisymmetric instability sets in even if the deformation is not very severe. So for example, if axial ratio is 0.3 or 0.4, such instability sets in.
Okay. So in fluids, you also have these two types of instabilities, the non-axisymmetric one and the axisymmetric one.
Yeah.
And the non-axis, the Bermond instability also kicks in for smaller rotations.
Yeah.
So it's another example of something like this happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so so I'm going to talk about that. Similar thing happens in the higher dimensional black hole. So anyway, so what we did is that to solve the Einstein's equations in higher dimension in a usual n plus one formalism. So here n is a spatial dimension, and one is a time dimension. And so in the standard ADM homomorphism, metric is decomposed like this, and alpha is a Laplace function, and beta is a shift vector, and gamma ij is a spatial metric. And specifically, so we solved this n plus one equation using the BSSL homomorphism with a puncture prescription, which is now well established in a four-dimensional numerical relativity. What is different from the four-dimensional numerical relativity is that we have much more dimensions in higher-dimensional numerical relativity. So, but it's not possible at present to solve the such a equation in higher dimension because we have to take a huge number of grid for extra dimensions. It's not possible. So in this research, I assume a symmetry. The symmetry means that this symmetry. This is a road in the in this problem. The reason is as follows. So we would like to attack to the problem of the collision of two particles or a stability of a spinning black hole with one spin. In such case, rotation exists in one plane. So in this case, xy plane, and the other directions, say g, w1, w2, and so on, in a sense equivalent. So this means that we may impose a symmetry in this plane. So in this case, metric function may be written as a function of the time and x, y, and r. R is a cylindrical radius. So as a result, equations are settled down to the three spatial dimensional equation. And in this case, we can use essentially the same technique as used in four-dimensional numerical relativity. Okay. Okay, so from now, so I'll show you a result of simulation. So anyways, so what is done is very simple. We prepare the Myers Perry black hole and add a small perturbation, very small perturbation, and then evolve the Einstein's equation. So this what is done is very simple. And then, yeah, so this is a list of a setting. And anyway, so we prepare the Myers Perry black hole in a quasi isotropic coordinate, not in the original coordinate. This is necessary to avoid the singularity. And what is nice in this metric is that we can very easily find the quasi isotropic coordinate, as in the Schwarzschild coordinate. And then we put a small perturbation initially, a small non axiometric perturbation initially, and then solve the equations using the standard method. So, standard method means that for so the finite difference in time and space, and using the puncture gauge. So, puncture gauge is essential to avoid the singularity hitting. And also, now it is standard to use a fixed mesh refinement, which is in particular important for resolving the black hole near the horizon. Okay, so this is a list of the method of analysis. So we would like to determine the stability of black hole, in particular the stability against the non-axiometric deformation. So we analyze this stability using two methods. One is that we analyze the apparent horizon. So this is a view from the above. So this is the XY axis and this is the G or W1 axis. And if black hole is unstable against the non-axiometric deformation, shape becomes something like this. So this means that proper rings around this direction to this direction is not equal. So, and this is the schematic picture of the apparent horizon. And this is the equatorial surface, and this is a polar surface. So polar surface, this is in a XY plane, and this is in the another plane. And anyway, so if this kind of a non-axiometric deformation happens, proper rings along the apparent horizon does not become equal, identical. So this means that to identify the instability, we should follow the evolution of this ratio, length ratio. And but apparent horizon is in a gauge variant notion. So you may think that this is not very physical. So to avoid the misleading, so we also extract gravitation wave. Gravitation wave is a gauge invariant variable. So if this type of the instability happens, gravitation waves should be emitted because of the non-axiometric deformation. And so if we can extract the gravitation waves, we may say that this kind of instability happens. And so anyway, so in the following, CP denotes some circumferential length of the polar direction, and CE denotes the equatorial circumferential length. Okay, so first of all, I'll show you a five-dimensional case. Five-dimensional black hole is a very special in a sense. The reason is that the spin parameter is should be in this region between zero and unity, if Q equals unity, negative singularity appear. So this means that the horizon radius becomes zero, and the area of event horizon becomes also zero in this case. And so in this case, with the increasing of Q, ratio of the polar rings to the equatorial circumferential rings approach to zero. So and this means that a pancake-like black hole is formed. And so for the rotating star study suggests that such a black hole is likely to be unstable against many modes. So not only for the axisymmetric mode, but also the non-axisymmetric mode. Anyway, so this this property shows that black hole could be unstable if the Q is sufficiently large. And note that in this case, for 5 decades, Mayer-Sperry black hole is shown to be stable against the axisymmetric deformation. This is shown by this is written in your paper. Yeah. No.
It's not. So actually, the people that said this first were, of course, Roberto and Grob in their original paper. They were the ones with heuristic argument.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, yes, so this is a result of the simulation. This shows that the deformation parameter as a function of time. This is a circumferential length along the sum azimuthal angle, and this is a polar circumferential length along the other axis. So this shows that the for example, for small value of spin parameter, so I initially put some perturbation, non-axisymmetric perturbation of order around this. And if spin is not sufficiently large, such a perturbation dump exponentially. So this is a logarithmic scale. So this shows that the decay is exponential. And also, if spin increases slightly, in this case, still, which is a logarithmic decay, but in some point, this parameter grows exponentially like this. This shows that if spin is 0.87, larger than 0.87, black hole is unstable against non-axisymmetric deformation. So this is a time evolution of gravitational waves. This is plus mode of amplitude, and this is amplitude, and this is a gravitational wave form. And this also shows that for sufficiently large value of spin, amplitude increase exponential in the exponential manner. So this shows that the analysis using the apparent horizon is okay in this case.
Can I ask, what's the margin?
Oh, in this case.
But he's just emitting at a constant rate?
Yeah, almost constant. So this is marginally stable against the gravitational wave emission, yeah.
So it's losing mass, but at the same time, it's losing angular momentum for that rate.
Yeah, but probably eventually, so they will decay due to the radiation reaction. It will eventually decay due to the radiation reaction, but in this case, as I wrote in the next slide, anyway, so it's very difficult to perform a simulation for 5D black hole. So here, so code crash. I don't know why, but anyway, so it's very difficult to perform a simulation. I change the resolution as fine as possible, but the code almost always crashed. So, but anyway, so.
Just another question.
That.
So if you go to 0.89,
yeah,
the wavelength seems to also be getting shorter. So is it that is, so I'm looking at the top line. So the wavelength seems to be getting shorter. So is it that it's radiating more energy than angular momentum?
I think it's not almost constant. So.
No, well, if I compare the 0.89 with the 0.87.
I see.
It's getting shorter.
Compared with red and blue.
That's right.
Yes. So this wavelength determines the quasi-normal mode wavelength. And this shows that with the increase of the spin parameter, angular frequency of a quasi-normal mode increase.
Right, but that's so you're losing angular momentum less
Then it will
efficiently than you're losing mass.
Yeah.
Or energy.
Is there is it self-similar?
Self-similar, what do you mean in self-similar?
When it's losing,
so weak for the margin is stable.
Yeah. So
that would be interesting if that's the case.
I mean, there's a solution where, it's A and the mass are decreasing at the same rate.
Iris is in the next slide, so it's not very similar. So anyway, so it's eventually lose the angular momentum and the spin down.
But he's asking about the marginally stable.
Yeah, the marginally stable.
Still gravitational waves are emitted, and emission fraction of angular momentum is larger, and as a result, spin decrease. Then it decreases.
But, I mean, yeah. But the solution that separates and the separatrix solution, right? That's similar.
Only in this phase. So eventually, it will decrease because of, so I can prove that the spin can decrease.
I think what he's saying is that there is a value of spin between 0.87 and 0.89 where there's going to be a separatrix between, you know, exponentially growing.
Yeah.
And at that particular solution,
yeah, but due to the emission of gravitational waves, non-dimensional spin parameter should decrease. Then eventually this curve becomes like this.
Even the red one will decrease?
Yes, should be. Should decrease. But unfortunately, I cannot follow in this case. Let's wait. So let's wait for the next slide. So anyway, so in 5D case, so yeah, we can identify the marginally stable spin. So spin is 0.87, but we cannot follow the unstable black hole for a long time, unfortunately. But this is the case for the, this is possible for the 6D and 7D black hole.
Just a question, just out of curiosity. Is the growth or damping consistent in the gravitational wave picture and in the apparent horizon? You get the same exponent?
Yeah.
You get the same exponent. When you look at the apparent horizon also?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But for 6D and 7D case, if 5D, so simulation is too short term, so it's impossible to say something. Okay, so. But for 60 and 70 case, we can perform more beautiful simulations in a sense. And we can say that much more. And then, so in this case, for D equal 6, for the case that D is larger than 6, spin parameter can be taken for arbitrary value. So spin parameter may be infinity. But anyway, so with approaching Q infinity, area of apparent horizon approach to zero because our age approach to zero. And anyway, so also in this case, ellipticity increase with Q. So this means that with increasing Q, shape of the apparent horizon become a pancake-like. And so in this case, Oscar and his collaborator show that black hole is unstable against the four arc symmetric deformation. So the criteria is about in this unit 1.6. But non-arc symmetric instability sets in for a much smaller spin, as we showed. So this is evolution of the deformation parameter. So deformation parameter is again that ratio between this length to this length. And also in this case, we initially put perturbation of this order. And also in this case, if spins are small enough, exponential damping is found. But for sufficiently large spin, so exponential growth is found like this. And in this case, marginally stable spin is about 0.74. And this is also found for 7D case. Figure is very similar. And also, I'm not sure anyways, but the reason, but anyway, so criteria for the stability is almost the same, 0.74.
So you expect this curve to then turn around at much larger.
Yeah, I will show you. This one. Anyway, so. So this, if exponential growth continue for a long time, so it eventually hits eta equal unity. Eta equal unity means that something happens, some singularity happens, so fragmentation happens. But this cannot be seen for any simulations.
So in terms of
first in the early phase, exponential growth is seen. But as a growth of this deformation parameter, gravitational waves are emitted. And then spin it becomes smaller and smaller. And also anyway, so at some point, spin becomes small enough. So for this case, critical value of a spin parameter is 0.74. Probably around here, spin becomes 0.74. Then black hole becomes stable, almost stable. Then yet a parameter exponential decay like this. And eventually, a black hole settles down to the axisymmetric one. So here, almost axisymmetric, and here, highly deformed, but eventually, black hole settles down to axisymmetric one.
If you take the maximum of either plot,
yeah,
then you have it for different values of Q, and then you extrapolate in that
direction. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
interesting, but I cannot perform a simulation beyond this parameter.
That's right, but I mean, if you just take 4 points.
Yes, I extrapolated this. So in this case, if Q become about two or 1.7 or something like that, eta become about unity. And it is interesting to say that such extrapolated value is very close to this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everything happens for such a large spin, probably. Yeah.
So what happens if eta reaches one?
For such a large spin?
So if you crank up the spin and then eta eventually reaches unity,
yeah,
then what?
Probably so fragmentation or something like this. So Gregory Laplan type instability may happen. Yeah, but in this case, so bad deformation happens and then spin down, then relax to the axisymmetric black hole, and this is our finding.
So just following that line, so when you have extrapolated that to value say two. Do you see at what point, can you estimate also the time at which you...
Yeah, time is very, very... I haven't checked, but anyway, this is a growth rate as a function of the Q. Growth rate is almost linear in Q, and this is zero. Zero means that below this, so black hole is stable, and above this, black hole is unstable. And this is a rotation, angular velocity. No, angular frequency of a black hole. So for some Q, growth rate overcomes the angular velocity. So this means that before one rotation, growth proceeds. And this shows that, I don't know what happens, but anyway, so this is almost linear. So in some point, the instability quickly grows. So probably this is a reason for I cannot perform a simulation. Yeah. Growth is too fast. And this is an evolution of the CPCE. This is, CP is polar circumferential length, and CE is equatorial circumferential length. Initially, this is very small due to the rapid rotation. So, but very small means that not very small, so at most 0.4 or something like that for Q equal unity. And This shows the evolution of this ratio, and this ratio can be used to calculate the spin parameter because this is a monotonic function of the spin for a fixed value of a mass. So this means that for a small value of this one, so Q is larger, and for larger value of this ratio, Q is smaller. And if this is the unity, Q is zero, spin zero. And then, so this is the evolution of the CPCE. So let's see this one. And in this case, so initially this is almost constant, but during this phase, non-axisymmetric deformation grow. Then gravitation wave emission turn on, significant gravitation wave emission turn on. Then spin down starts. And but during this phase, spin down is not enough. So as a result, deformation. This is not this is a CPC. Deformation parameter is a ratio of this one to this one, and deformation parameter still grow in this phase. But around here, black hole becomes stable. Then growth of the deformation stops, and after that, growth deformation parameter exponential decay because the black hole steep. And eventually, it settled down to the stable black hole after emission of gravitational waves. And in this study, we found that the final fate of a black hole is in the spin is about 0.6, irrespective of the initial value. Okay, so let me check that in this simulation, first law of black hole thermodynamics is satisfied. Black hole thermodynamics, so first law of black hole thermodynamics is written in this form. And here, only a dissipation mechanism is the emission of gravitational waves. And by the emission of gravitational wave, delta M decreases, and also delta J decreases. But in this case, mainly quasi-normal mode, primary quasi-normal mode emitted. And so this means that delta E is approximately equal to the omega over M delta J. Here, M is unity because we focus only on the bar mode instability. And if we substitute this one, so we have this, anyway, this one become this one. And so anyway, so A has to increase. So this means that omega H is the angular velocity of the black hole should be larger than the omega over M. So this means that emission of gravitational wave should be a super radiance mode, as you know well. So this has to be satisfied. We check this condition is satisfied. This is a figure. So horizontal axis shows the spin parameter, and the vertical axis shows the angular velocity or omega over m, m equal 2 in this case. And the solid line shows the angular velocity. For example, for 5D, angular velocity is this one. And on the other hand, quasi-normal mode frequency, which can be read from the waveform or gravitational waves, is written here like this. So this shows that for all the points, all the pointer below this curve, so implying that this condition is satisfied. So super. So this. So anyway. So gravitational wave emission induced by the super radiance mode. And for all the case, for example, for d equals 6, green line shows the omega h, and green point shows the omega over 2. So this shows that all the points are below omega h, so implying that this condition is satisfied. So super radiance condition is satisfied. So that's OK. OK, so let me summarize. Anyway, so rapidly spinning black holes are primarily unstable against the bar mode deformation. And threshold value of a spin is fairly small. This is a result for d equals 6, 0.74 and 0.73 and 0.77, and q equal a little bit larger for d equals 5.
Anyways, the threshold value of q doesn't seem to be monotonic with the number of dimensions.
No.
I expected that it should be decreased monotonically with larger number. Maybe it's naive, or maybe it's something that just happens at
a
very large number of dimensions.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, someone should check. So yeah, this may be not be correct. So anyway, so.
Why would this is the final value of spin which the black hole settles, or the threshold value of instability?
Threshold value.
Oh, I see.
Threshold value. Yeah, according to yeah.
Yeah,
according to their analysis, threshold value.
Is this your estimate?
So
is your estimate goes up and down, or it just goes?
Yeah,
up?
So
the one that
you monotonic, but very, very in the narrow region.
Yeah,
almost unity. Anyway, so and unstable black hole radiate gravitational waves, and after the spin down by sufficient radiation, black hole settle down to a new stable state with a small spin. And as I, as Rhys pointed out, but we didn't perform a simulation for ultra spinning case. So rotational spinning case means that, for example, k equal 1.5 or something like that. For such case, fate may be different. So something more violent may happen. For example, Gregory-Laffner instability type instability may happen, or Fragment tension or something like that.
It's curious that you said that it seems to be growing linearly.
And, this one?
The rate? No, you had something about the...
Growth rate.
Growth rate.
Yeah, growth rate almost linearly, very quickly increase.
Yes, and for the Gregory-Laffner instability, I think it goes up and down. No, but well, beyond the some number, for sufficiently large, I mean, it's going to be the growth rate is going to be proportional to the thickness, and the thickness is. So it's difficult to see which one will dominate, right?
For large.
Both of
for I, large enough. Yeah.
Yeah, any so simulation for this space is easiest for the future. So now I cannot do. Yeah, okay, so that's all.